Tonight, we're going to finish up at least a subtopic of this discussion of the Holocaust. We were discussing over the last few weeks the various causes that were mentioned, and the one that we've been spending quite a while on is assimilation. And we brought from the Achiezer, from the Beis Halevi, from the Michtam Eliyahu, all similar ideas that these kinds of tragedies are the product of assimilation. And perhaps the most extensive treatment of this idea is by the Netziv. He has a special kuntres called She'er Yisrael, which speaks about anti-Semitism. What are the causes of anti-Semitism? And it's a rather long thing. I'm not going to read you from beginning to end, but I'm going to go through it and give you a synopsis, piece by piece, of what he says. And when we finish that, that probably will be all we'll do tonight. And what we have left to do is to explain the other two causes that we said are connected to this. The cause that was said of secular Zionism as being a cause to the Holocaust. And we'll add to that not only secular Zionism, but communism, socialism, which Jews were very much involved in at the time. And the fact that we had an opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael, and from Jews didn't take advantage of it, or for that matter, most Jews didn't take advantage of it. And we said that even though on the surface they seem to be contradictory, because Zionism seems to be the push to go to Eretz Yisrael, and not going to Eretz Yisrael is l'chora the opposite, so how could they both be causes? We said we would speak about that and resolve that seeming contradiction by understanding more clearly what secular Zionism was all about. That's a separate discussion, which probably will come up somewhere around Yom HaTzmaut, which is very, which this is all planned way in advance. What we're going to get to it when. And then we have to go and see, after all of this, all of the theory, how in practice did it apply to the time before the Holocaust? What was going on then? Was there assimilation? Where was there assimilation? That's the next quite a few shiurim. Till we finish that cause, then there are other causes which we haven't even mentioned yet. We'll go into them also. But for tonight, this is closing at least part of the or the good portion of the theory of assimilation, of the why that's the cause, how that's the cause, and where the sources are. That's the cause of anti-Semitism, that we'll finish tonight. And then, till Pesach, whenever we'll continue next week for sure, there'll be a shiur, Mirtz Hashem, and the week after that probably also, we'll have 2 weeks of shiurim on Pesach. And then probably we'll take a break for Pesach, and after Pesach we'll start again with the Holocaust. Okay. He starts and says that many people have asked the question to explain the causes of anti-Semitism. And he says that the source that he's going to use, which most people know, is the Haggadah Shel Pesach. The Yisham Dalavoseinu, Shebechol Dor Vador Omdim Aleinu Lechaloseinu. In every generation, there are people who want to destroy us. Obviously, anti-Semitism is a ongoing, eternal problem. And where do we know that from? It says, Seyu Lamad, Mabikesh Lavan Harami. Go and learn from Lavan what the cause is or what the nature of anti-Semitism is. He says, on the surface it would appear that Lavan had two problems with Yaakov Avinu. One is he was jealous of his wealth, and he suspected that he stole from him and treated him wrongly. And there was also a second idea, which he says he will show how that is clear from the Psukim, that Lavan also hated Yaakov for his religion, the fact that he served the Rebbe Shalom. And he says that he's going to equate Yahdus, Judaism as we know it, with what its roots were then. And that's also called Judaism. It just went through a metamorphosis after the Torah was given. But what the Avos represented in belief in one God, right, was the Judaism of the time. And Lavan, what's it called, hated Yaakov, both for the personal seemingly things, that he was jealous and suspected that he wronged him and cheated him, and also because in general he hated his religion. He says, on the other hand, it doesn't seem from the Psukim that the religion played a part. It seems just that the Lavan had a complaint against Yaakov, that he ran away from him, right? He was his worker, and he took his children away from him, and that he stole his gods, and that he was jealous of the money that he made on seemingly on his cheshbon. So he says, but it says not like that. It says, Bikesh Lavan lakaris hakol. Chazal told us that Lavan wanted to destroy everything. If the only thing that he had a complaint was on Yaakov's conduct to him, then why do you want to destroy everything? Right? He should just have wanted to destroy Yaakov. Why do you want to destroy the entire family? And Chazal saw that Lavan wanted to do more than just harm Yaakov. He was interested in uprooting the entire religion. That's what he learns, what's it called, to take Judaism out of the world. And he says that's what it means that Arami Ovid Avi Vayerid Mitzrayim. What does Lavan have to do with them going to Mitzrayim? There was no connection. She says, based on the Gemara says, Ruyin Hoy Yisrael Yos Golem Laram. Klal Yisrael had a greater connection to Aram. That was Lavan. It was the father-in-law of, what's it called, of Yaakov, the brother-in-law of Yitzchak. Aram was a country that we were a lot more connected to, right? The language was a much more closer language to Hebrew. So it would have been proper that the Rebbe Shalom, if he wanted to put us in Galus, should have put us in Galus in Aram. But since the Rebbe Shalom saw that if Klal Yisrael would have gone into Galus in Aram, they would have been totally annihilated. They would have been destroyed because the Aramim, the people in Aram, were tremendously cruel people. Therefore, he put us in Mitzrayim where we could remain. Right? So he says that's why, what's it called, the Rebbe Shalom didn't send us to Galus in Aram because we would have been destroyed completely. So he put us rather in Edom. That was in Galus, the Galus by Sheni. So the same thing happened to Yaakov Avinu, that the Rebbe Shalom made a gzera that Klal Yisrael would have to go into Galus, Be'eretz Nachriya. L'chora, they could have been the kind that Galus by Lavan, in Aram, right? But Arami Oved Ovi, since Lavan had the intention of uprooting Klal Yisrael completely, right? Vice versa, there was more here than just jealousy and a suspicion of doing him wrong, of cheating him. But it was something much deeper, that Lavan wanted to destroy everything and wanted to uproot Judaism completely. And the purpose of this galus was not to destroy the Jewish people, but was other than to give them the ability to emerge as the Jewish people. So therefore, because Arami Oved Avi, because Lavan would have wanted to uproot everything by Yerid Mitzrayim. Therefore, the Rabbanu Shem was Mekayim, that Golus, not in Aram, but in Mitzrayim. So he says, where does it say that in the Pasuk? It says, Yalovan says to Yaakov, Yesh le'el yodi lasos imochem ra. I have the ability to do to you in the plural, bad, not to you in the singular. Had Lavan only had a taina on what Yaakov did, then he would have only been interested in hurting him, not hurting the rest of his family, especially his own grandchildren. But if Lavan's intention was to uproot the entire emunah of Judaism, as it was at that time, then his intentions were plural, against everybody. And he accused Yaakov of stealing his gods, in other words, insulting his gods, and only because he didn't believe in them. So it was a matter, a religious matter. It wasn't just a practical Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. There was a Bein Adam L'Mako matter over here also. And he says that that's why Yaakov cheated him. Not because Yaakov was innately a cheat, but because it's okay to cheat Goyim, because Jews consider themselves superior. And our religion, right, makes it okay to deal crookedly with other religions. So the whole basis of what love and hated Yaakov was based on religion, and based on a hatred of what was called then the Jewish religion. He says that, so then what was this idea? What was this hatred? You see, it goes back all the way. We say it in Haggadah, right? That the whole Dor V'Dor, Omdi Malenu L'Chaloseinu, this hatred, the hatred for our religion is something that is ingrained by the nations of the world, all the way back from Lavan. Where does it come from? He says that, that this limud of Larami Ovid Avi, and the whole parsha there of what Lavan wanted to do, right? We could think that when we see a generation where Jews are comfortable amongst the Goyim, right? And Taka, they treat us well and we're accepted amongst them, right? Then we don't need to worry. And we don't need to beg the Ribbono Shel Olam to help us, because everything is fine, right? We think that when we're safely amongst the nations of the world, and we are able to be misparnes b'derech hateva amongst them, that everything is fine. He says, we learn from love, and that's not the case. Right? But the whole Dor V'Dor Omdim Sone Yisrael L'Chaloseinu, and to destroy Yiddishkeit. Right? And there's no generation where they don't have the desire. It's just there are generations when it doesn't come out L'maisa, where it remains suppressed. So therefore, I have to find the reasons. Why is it that there's this constant, at least suppressed, hatred of Yidden, right? And b'chol dor v'dor, the Sina doesn't necessarily come out, but it's always there. And everything is mamish hashgachas Hashem. That if God chooses to suppress that Sina, then there must be a reason. And if he chooses not to suppress that Sina, the Sina is always there. So why in some generations the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't let them bring it out, and in some generations yet? Right, and therefore the discussion shouldn't be so much on why the Goyim hate us, because they hate us all the time, but why in certain generations the Ribbono Shel Olam lets that hatred come to the surface, and why at certain times not. So the investigation, the study of anti-Semitism shouldn't be a study of the causes from the sides of the Goyim, but from the results by the Yid. Right? What happens in generations where that hatred comes to the surface And what happens in generations where it doesn't? Because the source of the hatred is constant. It's consistent. Says that and that v'hisha amda l'avoseinu, what is it that has stood for our forefathers and us? So he says it's not going back on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim and he gave us rechush gadol and v'hisha amda l'avoseinu, the promise, because that has nothing to do with b'chol dor v'dor. That has to do specifically with Golus Mitzrayim. He says v'hisha amda l'avoseinu is that shebechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu, right? That is what stood for us and stays for us to be able to see to it that the Jewish people should survive. It's the sin itself. It's the anti-Semitism itself, which is a reason that gives the Jewish people the ability to continue to survive. He says that going back to Golus Mitzrayim as a model, the Rabban Hashem told Avraham, Ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lohem. Was not just a nevuah, this is going to have to be. It wasn't part of the gzeira. It was a tzivui. I'm going to put your children into galus, but they're going to have to remain a ger there. Ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lohem. They're going to have to not feel comfortable there. They're going to have to feel as strangers. That is part of the tzivui of galus. I'm going to make them go into galus, but they're going to have to remain. That's why it says, Vayogarsham. It's not because Yaakov Avinu just happened to go to Mitzrayim temporarily because he wanted to come back to Eretz Israel, but that was part of the tzivui, that was part of the command, that he had to be there in a way that he only remained a stranger. And he says that's why Yaakov was afraid to go to Mitzrayim, because he was afraid he wouldn't be able to be mekayem that, that his children would get comfortable there and they wouldn't live there as strangers. They'd live there as citizens. And he says, no, Yosef, Yoshis Yodo al Einecho. Einecho represents your desire. Your desire in Mitzrayim to remain separate. Yosef, Yoshis Yodo, he'll put his power. Yad is power. He learns a pasuk like this. Your desire is to live in Mitzrayim in a way that you remain separate, remain strangers, not assimilate. Yosef will give you the power to do that. How did Yosef give them the power to do that? By designating Goshen as where the Jews would live. So the Jews lived separately from the Egyptians. And as long as they lived separately, they didn't learn from their ways, they didn't assimilate, and things were fine. The Egyptians treated them very well. Okay. However, when Yosef died, and the Shvatim died, it says, Natimole ha'aretz osam. The whole land of Egypt began to be filled with Jews. They moved out of the Jewish section, and they started to move to the suburbs. They started to move into Mitzrayim, and they started to assimilate and learn from the ways of the Mitzrim. And that's when they stopped having Bris Milah. And he learns, interestingly, that there's a special mitzvah in the Torah, that even if you had a Bris Milah, to keep and not to mask that Bris Milah. We learn from the Beis Halevi, that's only a Durabana. He learns it's in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that if you had a Bris Milah and you cover it up, that you make an operation to make it look like it wasn't, you're over Nisa Doraisa. And that's what they did. They stopped having Bris Milah and they began, like in the time of the Greeks, to masquerade as Goyim. And that's when the Tzaras started. And he brings down a few medrashim here, similar to the ones that we do, but they're in fact different ones. It says, Ani amarti vayishko yisrael tetach bodor, ein Yaakov, ach shiv yabodat moshavim. I said that Klal Yisrael should dwell separate, insulated from the nations of the world. And now, Lamaisa, since they didn't do that, they're going to be forced to be separate. That, and he says, what's this bodod? He adds an extra dimension to it. And he connects it to Lavan's being jealous of Yaakov and accusing him of being a cheat. He says, I wanted Klal Yisrael to live a separate existence than the nations of the world. Not to live in luxury and riches. They should know their place. What our mission is, we're not supposed to be the people who make the rest of the world jealous. by living an extravagant lifestyle. Not to go after luxuries, right, and to get themselves into tremendous expenses, right, more than is necessary for what a person can live comfortably, and that we should, what's it called, because of that, once you get into debts, and you have to keep up an extravagant lifestyle, then you have to be very sharp businessmen. And usually it leads to not dealing honestly, because in order to keep up an extravagant lifestyle, you usually can't earn an honest living, right? And now they didn't do that willingly. So, yeah, brother Moshavim, I'll make sure that they live a life like that. That's what the Rabban Hashem says. So he includes in being separated from the Goyim, living a lifestyle that's not extravagant and doesn't put the pressure on a person to sometimes not have to earn his living in an honest way. And he says when Klal Yisrael are levado, then they live that unique lifestyle, and they keep up Yiddishkeit, right, and they don't, Am levadad yishkom. He learns the pasuk in an interesting way. If we're an am levadad, if we live that separate lifestyle, we don't go after luxuries. We live a standard of living that is comfortable but not excessive. Then yishkom, am levadad yishkom. We'll be able to live in peace. Nobody's going to be running after us, but uvagoyim. But if we want to mix together with the goyim and adarabba, outdo them and live a lifestyle that's not what's befitting Klal Yisrael, then lo yischashav, that we won't be considered anything in their eyes. Then we're not going to be able to live with peace with them. They're going to look down on us. Uvagoyim, if you want to live amongst the goyim, right, and be keep up with them, and assimilate amongst them, then lo yischashav, they're not going to consider you important. They're going to look down on you, and then your chores are going to happen. And adarabba, all the good that Klal Yisrael do for the goyim, we think that we're going to live amongst them, and we're going to assimilate, and we're going to do good for them. They're going to turn it around and make it bad. They're going to take it and twist it, and make all the good that we think we're doing and to be able to ingratiate ourselves to them, they're going to turn it around and make it the opposite. And he says, why? Klal Yisrael does a lot of sins. Here's an ikker part of this. Right? Why is this the sin, the assimilation amongst the goyim, the living the lifestyle that's not befitting a Torah Jew? Why is that worse than all the other sins that we could do? So he says an interesting yesod. He says that we find throughout the Torah that the Rabban Hashem is makbid that things should not go against their ikar tachlis. In other words, there are sins that are not against the essence of what a person is. They're sins. So the Rabban Hashem deals with those sins as sins. But where a person or a nation goes against what its essence is supposed to be, the essence of humanity, then the Rabban Shalom has no rachmonis. Because that's the antithesis of what a person is supposed to be, what he's existing for. He gives a few examples. He says, for instance, the Mabul. The Maisa, they were over on Gili Arayas, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, and for that God didn't bring the Mabul. Deal with their sins, they'll be dealt with. What did it bring on? Chamas. Because they stole. Why? It's because the tachlis of the Bria, right, is that people should be sociable. Not, what's it called, predators. The Rabban Hashem created the world to be settled. In order to be settled, there has to be a social structure. In order for there to be a social structure, people can't be stealing one from the other. That's the total destruction of society. You can have Kili Arayis, you can have Avodah Zarah, there still can be a society. Even Shvichas Damim, not everybody kills everybody. But when it comes to stealing, everybody is involved, and the Melech destroys society. The Rabbanu Shel Olam can deal with things that don't destroy society piecemeal. But once you destroy society, that's against the whole purpose of the world. The whole tsura of human beings, as human beings, is to be social animals, social people. And the world is supposed to be settled. But if you have stealing, it goes against both of them. It takes away the tsura of a human being as being a social person, and it takes away the tsura of the world of being a settled place. Dor HaFloga, he says. What was so bad about Dor HaFloga? They served idolatry, but they weren't punished for the idolatry. They were punished and scattered because they wanted to go against the whole essence of what the world is, to be settled. Lo l'tov, brother, God didn't create the world that people shouldn't settle. He wants people to spread out and settle over the whole world. And they did just the opposite. They kept themselves together. They didn't want to spread out amongst the whole world. They were going against the essence of what the purpose of creation was, that the world should be settled. In addition, they also, God wanted the world to be settled, this is a very interesting point, by a lot of different kinds of people. All people should not be one thing. That's not the purpose of creation, that everybody should think alike. It's a benefit that people are different. But they wanted to set up a society where everybody was the same. Dvarim achodim, everybody thought alike. A society where everybody thinks alike is not the tzura of a human being. The tzura of a human being is to have different days, different thoughts. Again, within a certain framework. But there's room for differences. There's room for different approaches. And that's the tachlis of a person, to be able to be unique. But when everybody's exactly the same, that goes against the tachlis of what human beings are. It's interesting. Because if you could have ideally a society where everybody thinks alike, that was, he says, the hate of Dor HaFloga. That's not a milah. It's a chesaron. It's a milah to have a society where people are different and everybody contributes their little different approach, their different perspective. Right? It's very different than what some people think, that, you know, when you make a community, it has to be everybody exactly the same. That's not the case. Here the Nitziv says, the milah of the world is that people are not the same. That people have ein deo seim shavos. V'od osu lehem dvarim achodim b'neihem. L'shanos tzuras ha'adam. That's a shinui in the essence of the what a person is supposed to be. She'kol echod mishalich b'olam alafi daita. Every person has to go in the world with his das, his unique approach. U'baruch u'chochum ha'rozim she'boros ishe b'nei ha'adam nifrodim b'deyoseyam. God created people to be different, to think differently. Again, within a certain framework. But not for everybody to be the same, what's it called, the carbon copy, right, clone of somebody else. And they went against the tzuras ha'adam, therefore they were punished. So you see, when something goes against its very nature, when people go against the nature of the world and the nature of human beings, that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam can't stand by idly, and he intervenes. Stone. What was stone? Right? They were really bad people. But what were they punished on, basically? Because they stopped people from... In order for the world to be settled, people have to be able to travel. They didn't let people, travelers, come into their... No hachnosas orchim. No tzedakah. They destroyed the whole social nature of the world. And the tzuras ha'adam. Tzuras ha'adam is to be friendly, to be brotherly, one to the other. God created people, again, to be social, to be brotherly. And they broke that tzuras ha'adam and tzuras ha'olam. And therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam intervened. And the same thing, Klal Yisrael, what's the tzura of Klal Yisrael? What's the essence of us? That by Matan Torah, we became Hashem's nation, to keep His Torah, right? And not only that, but to spread the belief of God into the world. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to be a beacon, a light to the nations of the world, that they should learn from us what it means to be a godly people. That there's a God in the world. Right? And Avraham Avinu began that And he spread that idea amongst the world, and he, what's it called, it became like a new world. It, he himself became like a new person. He had to leave all his past and become a new person. His whole tshuva changed. It wasn't just a continuation of what he was before. The creation of Avraham Avinu as the beginning of Klal Yisrael was a new creation. And not only that, he went and made new creations. HaNefesh HaSher Asa B'Charon. He transformed people. It was a transformation. And therefore, the, what's it called, the Rav Avinu didn't want all people to be Jews. He wanted the Jewish people to have a mission to bring an awareness of Hashem to the other nations of the world. That's our tzura, that's our essence. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And therefore, Avraham Avinu wasn't the guy or everybody to be part of his family, to be part of what's Jewish, just to be believers in God. And they could remain what they were, not be amalgamated into his family. Not everybody Avraham Avinu taught get out of Bris Milah. They weren't Jews. And that's why we have the Indian of Bris Milah. We are a special nation that has a special mission. That's our mahus. That's what we're supposed to be doing for ourselves and for the world. And when we went out of Mitzrayim, right, we began to fulfill that mission. Till we went out of Mitzrayim, it was only potential. It was only the roots of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. But once we went out of Mitzrayim, we began to, with the Matan Torah, right, had it not been for the sin of the Meraglim, we would have gone into Eretz Yisrael miraculously, not the Derech HaTeva, right, and we would have, what's it called, the nations of the world would have seen from us living in Eretz Yisrael and been impressed with the fact that the Rebbe Shem brought us there and our lifestyle, and that would have fulfilled our tachlis from Eretz Yisrael, like a lighthouse. Since we were chotei by the Chet HaMeraglim, so we weren't fit for that. So, what's it called? The Rebbe Shem warned us that we're going to have to go into Galus and fulfill that mission by being amongst the nations of the world. We're going to have to travel around with the nations of the world and impress them from close up, which we couldn't do from Eretz Yisrael. And that's the reason why the Rebbe Shem scattered us. One of the reasons why God scattered us amongst the nations of the world, that they should learn from us. They should see us, not become Jews, but at least be impressed by what a what the Jewish people represent God and represent a godly way of living. And therefore, when Klal Yisrael not only are not a lesson to the nations of the world, but they assimilate and learn from the nations of the world, then they're destroying their children. And that's when God can't stand by idly. Whenever something destroys its essence, then the Rebbe Shalom intervenes. And that's why when Klal Yisrael destroy their tzura, they become, in the eyes of the nations of the world, worse than whenever something, he brings that over here, whenever something destroys its surah, it becomes worse than something that didn't have that surah to begin with. It says, for instance, when a plant is on a higher level than the mineral, the vegetable world, but when a plant dies, it shrivels up and it decays. That's worse than a mineral. When something that had a bigger tzura destroys its tzura, it becomes worse than the thing that it was superior to before. So too, an animal that dies is worse than a plant. And a human being that destroys his tzura is worse than an animal. When people destroy their tzura, they become worse than animals. Right? They become an animal at least has a certain amount of yashrus. A human being that destroys his tzura becomes worse than an animal. And therefore, are looked down upon by the nations of the world almost naturally. when we destroy our essence, what we're supposed to be doing in this world. And he says, that's what we learn from the Haggadah. He says, interesting, what the whole idea of the Haggadah and Pesach is to ingrain in us these foundations of Emunah and foundations of what our essence is in the springtime. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim in the spring. The spring is a time in nature when it's easier to grow things, when it's easier to produce. You need a lot less work in the spring to produce crops than you need other times of the year. So too, the springtime is mesugo to plant within us the seeds of Emunah and the seeds of what we're supposed to be. And therefore, when we speak in the Haggadah of what our essence is and why, when we don't keep up that essence, it leads to hatred. It leads to the anti-Semitism that exists all the time to come to the surface. That's part of this limud. That's part of what we have to know what our essence is, so we can know how to fulfill our purpose. And all of that is what the Seder is all about, and why it's in what's it called in the springtime. Then he says that whenever the Torah speaks about Ashur, Ashur is a symbol. It's not a one nation, Assyria. It can mean Assyria. But Ashur means the Goyim compared to the Jews. And it's talking about Gaulus, that's Ashur, that's fortunate. In other words, where the hatred of Jews is not apparent. It's beneath the surface, it's suppressed. And he says, Klal Yisrael compared to fire, and the nations of the world to water. We're supposed to be the light that heats up the world. The nations of the world, the mice, are like the water. They don't have that light. They don't have that heat. But if we fulfill our purpose, then we heat them up and we make them better. Because boiled water is much more, is a better thing. Like the Shabbos, once the water's been boiled, there's a change in it for the good. We're supposed to take the nations of the world and boil them up, make them better. But on the other hand, when we don't fulfill our purpose, then the waters quench the fire. They put us out. Then that's called the hatred. It's like a flood of water to put out the fire. But really, fire and water should work together, right? The water should realize that the fire can help it and not try to put it out. And the fire is there to illuminate and to heat up the water. Water and fire should be good friends. But Lamaisa, when it's not doing its purpose, then the water and fire become enemies. Let's just finish this and then we can answer questions. Okay, and he says that's why the fire is only beneficial to the water when there's something that separates between them. When the water's in a pot and there's a separation. As long as there's a separation between the Goyim and us, we can be very beneficial to them and we can get along very nicely. Once you take away that separation, then the water puts out the fire. And he says that what's it called? Al Tiruni Shani Shecharchores, a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. We beg the Goyim, don't look at us, look down upon us as if we're worse than other peoples. Right? Because there's two reasons why. One is that when Jews, Shezafasni Hashamesh, we become blackened by the sun. The sun is always a symbol of nature. Okay? When we run after nature too much, we're not running after Dvar Hashem, but running after natural things, right? Running after the riches of this world. We live amongst the Goyim, right? Then we have a big problem. Then what's it called? We're not Matzliach, and we become blackened by our involvement too much in the natural world. Right? We're not fulfilling our purpose of being a spiritual people. We become too physical, materialistic. The second thing is B'nei Imi Nicharubi. He explains B'nei Imi, that a father teaches his child Torah, Musar. The mother is supposed to teach the kid Derech Eretz, Minhagim Tovim. So what happens is, when it's not the Talmidei Chachamim, the Gedolim, who are B'nai Adi, they're like the fathers. They are the students of the father who are teaching Torah, who are leading the Jewish people. But you have B'nai Imi. It's the secular leaders who are not terrible in a time when they would follow the lead of Gedolei Yisrael. And they're there to teach you Parnosa and Minhagim Tovim and how to be social, whatever, all the social rights. That's fine. But when it's not connected to Torah, and it's on its own, right, and it's not related to Torah, then it, that's what you call, comes out to be a very negative thing. So the problem with the Jewish people many times is that we don't follow what our tshura is because we run after the materialistic world too much instead of devoting ourselves to the spiritual more, which is our mission. And we follow the people who want to teach us how to live socially amongst the goyim without making that dependent on how we can live a Torah life. True, you have to be able to be sociable. You have to have minhagim tovim. Right? You have to have parnasa. But it all has to be filtered through Das Torah and not to be totally secular. Because once it's secular and you do it in order to assimilate with the nations of the world, then all the tzaras occur. He says, shouldn't wonder why there are generations when seemingly we are assimilated and these tzaras don't happen. If this is an ironclad rule, then you should be able to look through history and see whenever Jews in a place were more assimilated, that's where the anti-Semitism happened, and we see that that's not the case. So he says, on that it says, Hanistos Lashem Elokeinu, that there are times that the Rabbanu Shel Olam, for instance, it says that the Rabbanu Shel Olam was willing to mavatar and avodah zarah gilarash v'chizdomeran and bittul Torah. As long as there are times that Jews, or some Jews, are not over on Bittul Torah, they're machazik the Torah and machzik the Torah, either they're learning Torah or they're supporting other people learning Torah, then that has a special schus of holding off the anti-Semitism too. Even though it's fit, Jews are basically assimilating, but there's people learning Torah, the schus of Limud HaTorah has the power to hold off the tzaras. And the opposite is true. The oven Bikkel Torah, right, the Rabbanu Shem brings the tzaras, right, even faster. So sometimes, Enochanami, according to this setup, according to this model that he gave, there are times that you would imagine Jews are assimilated and they deserve that their tshura, they've lost their essence, right? But if there's Torah learning in that generation, right, or the people supporting Torah learning in the generation, that has the power to hold off the tzaras. On the other hand, where there is no learning of Torah, right, then the other averas come to the surface. And then in other words, the Torah learning is not the thing, that causes the tzaras. But the Torah learning can protect that what normally would come out would be suppressed, would still be suppressed. Without Torah learning, what normally is going to come out is going to come out. Hold on, 1 second. Let's just finish this in a moment. Therefore, when we find generations where the goyim, oppress us, and that anti-Semitism comes to the surface, two things have to be. One is the assimilation, and also Bittul Torah. When both things come to the front, those are the generations when there are tzaras, right? And even so, he says it's possible that there should be other cheshbonos that the Rabbanu Shel Olam has, that will hold us back, right? But this is the Iker Siba, right? The fact that there could be other things hidden from us, why the Rabbanu Shel Olam in some generations let it come, some not, that's separate. But what we can understand, these are the two sibos. The main is the assimilation, and the other is when there's a weakening of Torah, then the assimilation allows the sinah to come to the fore. That's basically what he says. And then he mentions that what's it called, that Klal Yisrael need two things to protect them in Galus, one Parnassa, and the other that we should be protected from enemies. And he says that the two things that do that is in the time when Eretz Yisrael Karbanos and Limud HaTorah, and outside of Eretz Yisrael when we're in Galus, then Tefila and what's it called, and Limud HaTorah. Those two things are the mainstays that protect us from enemies and ensure that we'll have some kind of Parnassa. Okay, in the end over here, his last few prakim here have nothing to do, not nothing to do, it's more of an enhancement of this last point, that true, the source of anti-Semitism is assimilation, when the Jewish people don't fulfill their mission. And when you don't fulfill your mission, the Rebbeinu doesn't stand by idly. But as long as there's Limud HaTorah, it holds back. It suppresses still that anti-Semitism from coming to the fore. When there's no Limud HaTorah, and then he goes into a whole thing of the importance of Limud HaTorah for many different aspects. That basically is the thesis that he says. And again, it boils down to assimilation, but with the extra added factor that as long as there's no Bittul Torah, that could still protect that the anti-Semitism doesn't come to the fore. When there's Bittul Torah and there's assimilation, then there's nothing to hold back the floodgates. Yeah.
It sounds to me that I just sent a very strong contribution to the Rav community to fix this. If the assimilation is what brings about the Tzaras, because this is Hashem's tikkun, in a sense, because otherwise they're going to be more assimilated and gone, then, and if the Limud Torah is going to somehow prevent the Tzaras, isn't that sometimes maybe doing a disservice, because maybe they're preventing what is really needed as a medicine, so to speak?
So he says as long as Klal Yisrael are being mekayim their tachlis, at least minimally, there are still people, then maybe the way of saving them is not necessarily through the Tzaras. Then the fact that there's Limud HaTorah will somehow preserve them without all those Tzaras. There's other ways of getting to them. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask about a side point, that the address of the Ashur is referring to going in general. Because I the other things, as far as Galos, that Tzadik says that the Ovdim would come from Eretz Yisrael, and the Dachim from Eretz Ashur. So so if Ashur means going in general, what's Mitzrayim?
So Rav Kook says a nice pshat on that pasuk. It fits in with what the Netziv says. He says, "Bo'o Ovdim Eretz Ashur." The people who are in Galos, in Eretz Ashur, they consider themselves fortunate, nice Galos, where nobody's bothering them, and they're lost. Usually people who don't realize they're in Galus and think that they're in a fortunate kind of Galus, they're lost people. The people who are in Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim is Mimetzar, they know that they're in Galus. They know that they're not fortunate. They know that, what's it called, that being in Galus is something negative. And they don't want to stay there. They're just nidachin, they're just pushed away. They're not lost. So the people who are in Galus and know they're in Galus and feel they're in Mitzrayim, in Mitzar, in Tzaris, they're just pushed away. The ones who are, what's it called, in the, what they consider a fortunate situation, even though they're in Galus, right? They're in the Eretz Ashur, like he says. The Galus that is glicklich, right? Nice, America, whatever. They're the ones who really lost. That's a bigger chiddush. The ones who bring back now, the ones who call the Ovdim and the Nitochim. And it could be the Ovdim have to be brought first, because there's more chance of them being lost completely, right, if you leave them there too long. So when the Mashiach comes, the people that come from the Eretz Ashur before they come from Eretz Mitzrayim. Because the Eretz Mitzrayim won't have to worry about so much. Right? They'll remain until the Rebbeinu has a chance to get them. The people in the Eretz Ashur may not remain so long.